Chemotherapy can cause inflammation in the lungs. That's what's making it hard for him to breathe. But the last cycle was September. It was the end of October. What was left of the tumour after surgery wasn't getting any bigger. We'd finished the chemo. Dylan should have been getting better, not worse. Symptoms can develop months afterwards, in some cases. Oxygen, please. This last was directed to the nurse, who was already unwrapping a mask. 2 days later, Dylan was transferred to paediatric intensive care, on a ventilator. The atmosphere in PICU is different. Everything's quiet, serious. You get used to it. You can get used to anything. But it's still hard. Nikki looks up. I follow her gaze to where it rests on Dylan, and for a second I see my boy through her eyes. I see his pale, clammy skin, the cannulas in both arms, and the wires that snake across his bare chest. I see his hair, thin and uneven. Dylan's eyes flicker beneath their lids, like the tremor of a moth within your cupped hands. Nikki stares. I know what she's thinking, although she'd never admit to it. None of us would. She's thinking, let that boy be sicker than mine. She sees me watching her and colours, dropping her gaze to the floor. What are you knitting? She says. A pair of needles pokes from a ball of sunny yellow yarn in the bag by my feet. A blanket, for Dylan's room. I hold up a completed square. It was this or a scarf. I can only do straight lines. There must be 30 or so squares in my bag, in different shades of yellow, waiting to be stitched together once I have enough to cover a bed. There are a lot of hours to fill when you're a PICU parent. I brought books in from home at first, only to read the same page a dozen times and still have no idea what was happening. What year's Liam in? I never ask why kids are in hospital. You pick things up and often the parents will tell you, but I'd never ask. I ask about school instead, or what team they support. I ask about who they were before they got sick. Year one. He's the youngest in his class. Nikki's bottom lip trembles. There's a blue school jumper stuffed into a carrier bag at her feet. Liam's wearing a hospital gown they'll have put on when he was admitted. You can bring in pyjamas. They let you bring clothes in, but make sure you label them because they tend to go walkabout. Cheryl gives a wry smile. You've got enough on your plate without chasing after a lost T-shirt, isn't that right? I raise my voice to include Aaron and Yin, the other two nurses on duty, in the conversation. We're busy enough, certainly. Yin smiles at Nikki. Pip's right, though. Please do bring in clothes from home and perhaps a favourite toy. Something washable is ideal because of infection, but if there's a teddy he particularly loves, of course that's fine. I'll bring Boo. Nikki turns to Liam. I'll bring Boo, shall I? You'd like that, wouldn't you? Her voice is high and unnatural. It takes practice, speaking to a sedated child. It's not like they're sleeping. Not like when you creep into their room on your way to bed to whisper, I love you, in their ear. When you stand for a moment, looking down at the mess of hair poking out from beneath the duvet, and tell them, good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. There's no soft sigh as they hear your voice in their sleep, no echo as they half wake and mumble a reply. An alarm sounds, a light flashing next to Darcy's cot. Yin crosses the room, reattaches the oximeter to the baby's foot, and the alarm stops. Darcy's oxygen levels reading normal again. I glance at Nikki and see the panic in her eyes. Darcy's a wriggler, I explain. It's a while before you stop jumping at every buzzer, every alarm. Her parents are normally here in the evenings, but it's their wedding anniversary today. They've gone to see a musical. Oh, what are they seeing? Yin has seen West Side Story 11 times. Pinned to the lanyard around her neck are badges from Phantom, Les Mis, Matilda. Wicked, I think. Oh, that's brilliant. I saw it with Imogen Sinclair as Glinda. They'll love it. 8-month-old Darcy has meningitis. Had meningitis. Another reason why her parents are having a rare evening away from PICU. They're finally through the worst. My husband's away too, I tell Nikki. He travels a lot with work. I turn to Dylan. Daddy's missing your big day, isn't he? His birthday? Better than a birthday. I touch the wooden arm of my chair, an instinctive gesture I must do 100 times a day. I think of all the parents who have sat in this chair before me, of the surreptitious strokes from superstitious fingers. Dylan's coming off the ventilator tomorrow. I look at Cheryl. We've tried a few times, haven't we? But this little monkey. Fingers crossed, eh? Fingers crossed, Cheryl says. Is that a big step forward? Nikki asks. I grin. The biggest. I stand up. Right, my darling, I'll be off. It feels odd at first, talking like this with other families all around you. You're self-conscious, like making phone calls in an open-plan office, or when you go to the gym for the first time and you think everyone's looking at you. They're not, of course. They're too busy thinking about their own phone call, their own workout, their own sick child.